Shalom, everybody. We have a very special week. Since God's willing, we are going to read the portion of Pinchas. Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aharon. For Kabbalists, it's an extremely important week. Because in reality, Pinchas is teaching us something that we all really striving for. If you look at the name, because the names that they come in the Torah and the reason that we choose names from the Torah is that names mean very much. It's extremely important because the names define frames that a neshama can work within the frame. In reality, the frame and the borders of neshama is defined by the name given to that person. Originally, Pinchas was Pei Nun Chet Samech, Pinchas. But because of what he did, and I would like to summarize, because within what he did, Torah is telling us that 12 miracles happened by his action. 12 miracles happened beyond imagination. That means the law of nature changed. And we're going to explain this. It says that Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aharon turned back my rage. I had the rage. I saw that for 40 years I took the Jews under my ananei kavod, under the absolute protection day and night. I gave them the Maim Chaim, the water of Miriam. Everywhere they went, I kept them protected day and night. I gave them man for 40 years so they were anything they desired, their pleasures to be fulfilled. I literally took care of them all the time. The beauties and the miracles that the Jews saw, they heard literally the Creator. Now imagine, the Creator that said, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. They heard it, they saw the voices, they saw the opening of Yam Suf. Those things are not simple miracles. They have memory and understanding things that no other nation, no other generation ever experienced. 40 years you had man. The man was for your Yetzer Hara. When you ate the man, the Yetzer Hara gave in to Yetzer HaTov. Your bad inclination, the desire to receive, converted to become desire to share just because you ate the man. When you drank the water of Miriam, the well of Miriam, Sitrei Torah, understanding the Torah in Pardes level, in four level, in the level of Pashut, Remez, Sod, and Sitrei, everything became simple. Man was Bezuchut of Moshe. Moshe was the one that got in touch with the Hashem and brought that. Literally, knowledge. Knowledge is power. Brought the knowledge, explained every detail of knowledge that ever will ever exist. They heard it, they got it. All under the protection day and night. They experienced such a thing. And yet, after 40 years, those that came out of Egypt, as God told them 40 years ago, that you're going to die, you will never reach Eretz Israel. But yet, because they realize that there is an opportunity that through their children, follow, this is most important, through their children they will experience redemption and the Geula, and they will finally will be the day that there will be a revelation of Emet, that the truth will be revealed. They did not turn around at the beginning of the 40 years to say, you know what? Since we are not going to go to Eretz Israel, Eretz Zavat Chalav V'Davash, what is this we are going to stick around for 40 years in the Midbar for what? To die in the Midbar? Adios, thank you very much, God. You know what? No good deal. Goodbye. No. They stuck it. They died in the Midbar. As a matter of fact, it says the Midrash that every Tisha B'Av, that means ninth of Av that we are coming close to, they digged in their own hole. And they went at night and they slept in until morning. If they got up, they got up. Otherwise, they're dead. They would come and cover it. Knowing this fact, they still stayed. And no, I told them, you're not going to go. Yeah, I'm going to take you into the Midbar. Hashem told them, you're not going to go to Eretz Israel. Never. You're going to die in the Midbar. It's tomorrow, day after tomorrow, and he said, every year by year, till all of you are gone. They stuck it, they stayed, in order to give an opportunity for the children to go to Eretz Israel, and those through their children for them to see the Gerula. Now, we're going to discuss what that means. Yes, please.
Did they stay in the desert for 40 years because they wanted the old generation of slaves to die and a new free generation to be born?
Part of it. It's got to be a cleansing. Now, what is really Eretz? When we talk Eretz Israel, Eretz in the Torah means the language of Ratzon. How much you're worth? I tell you how much you're worth. How much Ratzon you have. How much willpower you got. That's how much you're worth. Willpower for what? A willpower of to say to yourself, to your own pleasure, no. And when it is no, and your body says no, to say to your body, yes. Who says so? You say, I say so. Then you have willpower. Not to tell somebody else no. To tell yourself no. That's willpower. That's power of restriction. That's how much I worth. It's how much I have this willpower. And the whole system is to control this, to bring about control. Because why do you need a control? Because God, the biggest give that the creation has given me is the power of making a choice. Free will. Free will. That means use my willpower freely. Now, that willpower, choosing that, making that willpower is a very strong tool to have willpower. We want to do many things. We desire to do many things. But do we have the willpower? Where do I get this will? How can I acquire it? That's Eretz Israel. Eretz that will take you to Eretz Zavat Chalav V'Davash. What is Zavat Chalav V'Davash? Milk and honey. But we said, look at this Zavat. The end word is tough. Chalav, end word, is bed. Davash, end word, is Shin, Shabbat. And what is Shabbat? Kara Leyom Shabbat Oneg. That means true pleasure. We haven't experienced honestly, truly what pleasure is. Oh, we feel pleasures for moments, but as soon as we want to capture it, we lose it. As soon as I say I got it, I don't have it anymore. Open your hand. Show me all the pleasures that in your life you went through. What you got for it? What you realize, as a matter of fact, I tell you, with all your pleasures in the world, you didn't get nothing, not even a good experience. Only through your pains you learned. Only through that, your bad experiences you acquired knowledge. Through all the parties and discotheques, we don't get no knowledge. As a matter of fact, just the opposite. We lose the opportunity to acquire knowledge. What I want to tell you about this. Look at the word Bil'am. That was last week. Continues to this week. Bil'am was the prophet of 70 nations. Equal to the same consciousness of Moshe Rabbeinu. And who is Moshe Rabbeinu? Is the quantum consciousness of Neshamot, the souls of the Jews. Jews are one by one, are part of a whole. Moshe is the whole. Bnei Israel, each neshama, is a part of the whole. We are all inclusive in one whole energy called Moshe. Now, this totality called Moshe has part called Bnei Israel. The world of opposite to Kedusha. Opposite to Kedusha. We said that what is free will is that God in His greatness, in His totality of being and self, allowed His opposite to come into existence. Just a moment. At your own home. You are the boss? Do you want anybody to stand in front of you and push you around? Lie to you? Steal from you? Do things that you know is the law of the house, your house, not to do, stands right in front of you and does it, steals from you right in front of your eyes. God allowed that. Because the world is not the place of God. God is the place of the world. So very simply, everything is in this world belongs to God. If I take it, without earning it, I have stolen it. And he's there, and he doesn't beat me up immediately. As a matter of fact, gives me a chance to recognize what is good and what is bad. A good part of it we discussed. The nature will tell us. I look at the ant, I learn something. I look at the elephant, I learn something else. I look at the moon and the sun, I learn something else. But there is a something that's the physical world, the nature can teach me. Now, what is this nature? How can I see the nature? There got to be a light. So when there is light, I see the nature. So if there is light, I can see. Now, is there anything other than light? Yes, God created Choshech. Ve'yavdel ben Choshech ve'or. And God made the difference between darkness and light. Now, what is darkness? Is darkness a lack of light? No, the science has proven to us that darkness, there is light, but we don't see. But the light is there. Proof? Look into the sky. Space is dark. As soon as an astronaut or an object goes into this darkness, immediately illuminates. How? Because we know illumination in our world of nature has to be a reflection. So if there is a ray of light and I see suddenly this astronaut in the space of darkness illuminates, that means there is a light. But yet needs an object to reveal this darkness. Now what was Bil'am? Bil'am is Bet Lamed Ein Mem. Bet Lamed is the same letters of Lev. Lev means heart. Am means nation. The heart of a nation. What is the heart of the nation of Israel today? What is it? All of them together. How much united they are. How much they love each other. How many point fingers do we have? Is this Am or they are Bnei Israel? Is this Erev Rav, that everybody for his own donkey? And there is no Achdut? There is really a big lie by saying, Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad, we are one. Which one? Now, what Bil'am wanted to do, which is the Klipa, which is the Rasha part, which is the bad aspect of a nation, is just make the Jews to see the light. What they teach us today into the market of Kabbalah. Seek the light. Go find the light. The light is what only you see. And this is what Bil'am wanted me to do. Only to see what light shows me. That means not have the idea of tapping to darkness. Now what is darkness? There is light, but not revealed. Not revealed. Now if you don't tap into that darkness, do you increase the light? The only way that you can expand is to go to the limit of your brain. Don't you go to your brain and you go and you look at your knowledge that you have and you go and you keep on going as smart as we are, and suddenly we hit a wall and after that it's dark out there. Now, do you have the guts? Very simple. Do you have the guts to step into the darkness and bring light, to expand your light, to expand your consciousness to the extent of the time that you have Pnei Chas? Pnei, what do you see in the panim? What do you see in the face of the person? When you look at the face of a person, you really see how wise he is. As soon as he opens his mouth, you know how much he understands. So the Chokhmah, Bina, and Da'at of the person is really appears in his face. Panim, Pnei, Chas. Chas is Chet Samech. Samech is 60, Chet is 8, 68, Chaim. So Pinchas is teaching me how to find, acquire the Chokhmah, Bina, Da'at. That means the wisdom, the understanding, and the knowledge, the capability of using this understanding and this Chokhmah in order to bring for myself Chaim. He's showing it to us. That's why the Kabbalist, that's the whole Kabbalah. How can I have Chaim? And what kind of Chaim? Because you can choose Chaim of Mavet, good and bad, or Chaim Shel Shalom. Because the Torah goes the following. Is it this Pinchas that he really turned back my rage by his zealousness for my sake? Not for his sake. Now who is this Pinchas? This Pinchas is the son of Elazar. Elazar is the son of Aaron. He's not even a Kohen. Now by the way, a footnote. Today, well-known fact proven, and it was in PBS, and it is a paper, you can go and check it, that there is a chromosome in the DNA of a Kohen that no other person in the world has. Only he has it. And the Torah comes, specifically says, when God creates the Choshech and creates the light, and that's what we want to talk about. This Choshech, it says, L'memsheled Laila, the government of the night will be Choshech, and the government of the day is going to be light, and the Yavdel ben Choshech Le'or, and made the difference between light and darkness. And comes in regards to Aharon, and he says, Ve'yavdel Aharon. That means Aharon is different than the rest of the Jews. Kohen is different than rest of the Jews. Yes? That means Kohen naturally is different than the rest of the Jews. And yet, because this guy who is Pinchas, and what happened? Pinchas was a student of his uncle, Moshe. And what they did for 40 years, day and night, studied, learned, understood the Torah and the mitzvot of Torah. Before we go further, I have to explain this. There's two ways you acquire knowledge. There's a knowledge that you're going to experience yourself in your life, and you're going to acquire it through your mistakes. Through your mistakes, you're going to acquire knowledge. But there is another type of a knowledge you can acquire. Your father, through a lifetime of hardship, acquires a knowledge and comes to a son. He says, son, 60 years I acquired this knowledge. If you put A and B and C together, you're going to get D. And guaranteed, I've done it. So he takes all the knowledge, and the son looks at the father and says, wow, he's successful. He made it. He's doing good. Just a moment. That's what he says. A and B and C together, I'm going to get D. I'm going to do A and B and C and D together. And he gets D. He says, wow, the man is right. The old man knows something that I don't know. So he acquires the knowledge of his father without really going through, experiencing the whole 60 years. There's two ways to acquire this knowledge. Now, the Jews in the Midbar, that they came out of Mitzrayim, did they go to work? And Anane Kavod over there, Mr. Moshe is there, Aharon Kohen Gadol is here, Miriam is here. I mean, I don't have even to wash my clothes. And what would they do day and night? Only to learn Torah. Only to study Torah. Did they keep Shabbat? Did they keep Shabbat? Every day was Shabbat. What are you talking about? What do you think happening in Shabbat? Shabbat is you get the whole Chokhmah. So we will discuss what the Shabbat is. We're going to have very soon one Shabbat. And when you're going to learn this Shabbat, what it is, then you know what? You're going to really count days to get to Shabbat. Because in Shabbat you have something that is beyond your imagination. The whole problem is you don't know. You know, nobody told you. There is a tremendous secret in the Shabbat. And it's not fallacy. It's not the story. Forget about this, coming to Shabbat, looking at the Torah and listening to the Torah and seeing you made it. Not at all. Any religion, anybody takes a day off, he feels good afterward. And Shabbat is not taking day off. As a matter of fact, the most difficult day of the week is Shabbat. Don't think it's the easiest day of this week. At all. Don't make a mistake. That's the day that they're opening the whole closet. They say, how much money can you take? Take. What do you think? You're going to sit 1 second just looking at it, counting it? You're going to really bring a tractor and get as much as you can. A loader. You're not going to stand even a second for quiet. And if you do, you're a fool. Because God opens the whole thing for you. But I don't know. I don't know even where is the address, where to go, what to do, what brings me to a point that I will be entitled to get it. And here is Pinchas is teaching us. He says, because he did this and this and this and this and this, I am giving him an internal covenant of priesthood. This guy is not even a Kohen. Did you change his DNA overnight? This is what you can do? That's what Torah literally tells us. That God changed the DNA of this man. He wasn't a Kohen, but we know that most of the Kohanut and Kohen Gadol came from who? Pinchas. Eternal. Now I want to read you the Hebrew. A Jew, the weakness of a Jew is that he's lazy. Because he's smart. He's too smart for himself. That's the problem of a Jew. God gave him too much wisdom. And because he's wise, he's lazy. Otherwise, every one of you will be perfect in Hebrew, and I know from where I'm coming from. I was the guy that my father took me to Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim was taken and was freed. And he says, look, I have a request from you. Put a tefillin on. I said, you know what, Dad? If it is good, put it yourself. Up till today, every Shabbat I go to him, I say, I apologize, I'm sorry. I made a mistake. I didn't know better. And it took me 40 years to recognize it. Now, this person that right now admitted, is telling you, start learning the Hebrew language. That's your mother language. That's your true language. That's your language of your neshama. It touches you. It feeds you. It's yours. Keep it. Save it. Cherish it. And that's Emet. So, here it comes. And they ask, the question is really, if you do such a service for Hashem, for sake of Hashem, is God is going to give you a reward? That God give reward? Yes. That's why in this parasha we see the following. First, the story of Pinchas. Then after the story of Pinchas, we know that there is a story of 24,000 Jews God died. And then every time a couple of people dies in the Jew, God gets nervous and starts counting them again. So he again counts them. It's like when you spend some money and you love money, what do? Every time you take it out and count how much money you got. So God does this, keeps on counting the Jews, which in time, God's willing, we understand why. And after counting, says, you know what, let's divide Eretz Israel to the Jews, each shevet. And you know, some people will get more, and some people get less. Based on what, God, is you are dividing here? Aren't we all equal? He says, no, you are not all equal. It's depending who you are, what you are, how much you have done. How much you are really important. As per your importance, I'm going to divide the Eretz Israel for you. So, okay, and then there is a whole lot of happening in this division. And then God starts talking about Shalosh HaVegamim, all the Mo'adim, and all the times that God says, okay, you know what? 3 times a year, you got to come with me. You got to come to me to Yerushalayim, and I'm going to inject special powers to you. Because you cannot do it without me. So, this is the rules. And then he gives the secret of Korbanot in this parasha. And the question is, what Pinchas got to do with all these things? And what is the relation of Pinchas and us getting into Eretz Israel? Now again, Eretz Israel, Eretz in the language we understand in the Kabbalah means Ratzon. That means I want to have a Ratzon of a Jew who is capable to control its life, its chaim, to the book, to the letter. And the purpose is to have simcha in life. Why? Next sentence. He says, Lachain Emor. Therefore tell him, to Pinchas, Hineni noten lo et briti shalom. Here it is, I am ani noten in the language of matana, I am giving him a gift. A gift of what? Briti. Brit is a covenant. When you have covenant with God, do you have any problems? And what is briti shalom? He says, look, the whole secret is I am going to give him a covenant that in his life always he will feel shalom. Now what is to have shalom? Or what is peace? So there is no Hamas and no Arabs? If God takes all the Arabs out of the earth, if the Jews are okay? Really, if God takes all the 7 nations of the Arab that they are right now surrounding the Eretz Israel, is the Jews going to be okay? I promise you, they're going to be 10 times worse. We haven't learned to love each other yet. We haven't learned to care for each other. We haven't learned to give up my share for sake of... That's a beautiful question. And only a caring person will ask that question. A caring person. Follow. This is a good experience. Whoever is right now knows what's going on here. That's good. So stay with no ideas. I don't understand. It's to your benefit. Will we ever experience this achdut and love between Jews? I tell you, when the Jews in the last parasha that most of you did not come, first time in the Torah calls the Jews Kahal Israel. They are all became one embodiment. Come on. Only the Jews won't get into a really hardship like the war, 6 days war. I know most of you were very young or not around. The feeling. Shoshana, hold on. Shoshana, please stay quiet. sense of coming out, Hineni noten lo et briti shalom. That means I'm going to give him, and I'm giving him a concept and understanding of shalom, that he will always feel shalom in his life. Now, shalom means fulfillment. Not that you don't work. Not that you don't go through avodah. But you go. But you are fulfilled. You feel content. There is joy in your heart. You don't feel the pain of lack. If there is a lack, beyond shadow of a doubt, you are confident that you can fulfill it. You can tap into the darkness. That's why Pinchas was able to kill Bilam. That lev of Am that was not allowing a Jew to tap into the world of darkness and bring light to the world of darkness. That is the responsibility of a Jew, to bring light, in light the world. That's why I call that door, Dor De'ah. They acquired the totality of knowledge. Now we're going to get there to see what happened. Now that door died in Midbar, and there is no trace of them. Where did they go? They said, look, we are only going to stay around for sake of children, through the children. Just a moment. After 40 years, why didn't they make it? Why again the last moment they seen? They went after Zunot. After so long, 40 years, what went wrong? Okay, I understand at the beginning of Yetziat Mitzrayim you made the Egel Azav because you didn't know better. And what happened at the end of 40 years of so much love of Hashem and Moshe and Aaron and Miriam and the man and the Amalei Kavod and the water, what did you do?
He got bored.
He says, they had the Da'at. There wasn't anything in the Sitrei Torah that they didn't know. They saw things that me and you, we never will experience. But did they experience, execute this Da'at? Because in Shabbat says, Sheshod Yamin Ta'avod U'Shevi'i Yanafash. That means 6 days you gotta prepare, you gotta work, you gotta make a vessel. On 7 days, Shevi'i Yanafash, I am gonna fulfill what you have made. 6 days. So he says, oh, 6 days I work and then I come to Shabbat. Okay, now Shabbat I came. I got the oneg. What am I going to do? He says, the secret is that what are you going to do with what you got? That's why the secret of whenever we want to say the mitzvah, we say, Vayhi nu'am Adonai Eloheinu aleinu maseh adeinu konona aleinu maseh adeinu kononeu. What that means? God, 6 days I worked, I came to Shabbat to give me enough energy so I can do better 6 more days. Now 6 more days I come and says, okay, I got 6 days working and now here is a Shabbat. Now I made better, please give me more so I can do even better. What that means? That is Teshuvah. We said, what is Teshuvah? Are you a son? Are you a father? Are you a husband? Are you a friend? Are you a daughter? Are you a Jew? Can you be better? Or you're perfect? Can you be a better son? Do you go to ask yourself, can I be a better father? Or you take it granted you are the best father in the world? Can you be a better mother? Can you be a better wife? Ask yourself. And if you think you're perfect, then you got to go and sit down and really pray to God to help you to open your eyes. The moment you come to your God and say, God, I want to become better, that's Teshuvah. You are ready to change. You are ready to change. Now, how much guts you got? How much guts you got? Pinchas teaches you how much guts you have. He gave up everything. What happened? the head of the Shevet of Shimon, the strongest, more powerful, most powerful, and lot of Gevurot. You would tell them a word, they would go into war with you. Those are the guys, the Shimon was the guy who went in Shechem and cut the head of everybody. So it's no problem for Shimon. Now the head of this Shevet, his name is Zimri. And that's, I'm telling the story for those who don't know the story. Now Zimri was a very old man. He was in Egypt and he was a very smart man and he was a very powerful man. The daughter of Balak, which is a Moavi, a Midian, very beautiful woman, exceptional beautiful woman. She comes for purpose of looking for Moses. Because his father said, you know what, don't go after this inchy-binchy Jews, go after the big one. You are beautiful enough to get the big one. You are smart enough to get the big one. So she gets up looking for Moses. He says, you know, who's Moses? How do I recognize him? He says, a tall person with a white beard, everybody respects. And whenever you saw this person, this is Moses. Go after him. So she comes to the Machane, she goes, where the Jews are, where the Jews are traveling, and comes in and Zimri, which is the head of the Shevet of Shimon, sees her, and she's gorgeous. So what are you doing here? Says, I'm looking for Moses. Who's Moses? Are you Moses? It seems everybody, when you get up, 24,000 people get up. So you must be a big shot. He said, Moses? I'm more important than Moses. Come here. Give me your hand. Takes the hand of Cosby and takes it to Moses. Says, Moses, is your wife Midian? From Midian? He says, yes. He says, okay, this girl is from Midian. Can I marry her? And by the way, I'm older than you and I understand better than you, so forget it. And he goes straight in front of everybody, fornicates with this woman. Now, as soon as this fornication starts, the rage of Hashem starts. He says, after so many years, the hell, just because of one beautiful woman? I mean, bingo, you lost it? Bingo, to give the body pleasure, you are ready to demolish all your education and all your knowledge just because right now your heart is hooked up for this pleasure? And let's go to the moment that when my heart grasps and wants to do something because I want to do it, I love it. It's pleasure in it. It's like a teal, it's like a bazooka. A missile. As soon as it hooks on it, that's it. You are finished. And then Pinchas comes, and Pinchas nobody. He sees that his uncle Moses and his grandfather Aaron are standing at the Ohel Moed and crying because they didn't know what to do with this guy called Zimri. He's the head of the Shimon. What is he going to do? And they realize that there is a plague between the Jews, and Jews are just dropping like nothing, like flies. And they don't know what to do. So Pinchas comes, he says, Moses, I want to understand, Rabbeinu, tell me, here it is. The halakha you taught, he taught us. This is the law, that if somebody does fornication, that this fornication brings about shame to Jews, you got to kill him. This is the halakha you taught us. Oh, so what are you stopping? Moses said, yeah, you're right. Just a moment. You did three corrections. What the correction was? First, tikkun machshava. You sat down and you thought and you went to your Torah, you went to the knowledge of Torah, you used the knowledge of Torah, you brought the halakha, you brought the rule. So you did the right thinking. And Dibur, you could have done the right thinking and get up and says, well, yeah, I know the law. I know that this guy's got to die. So without asking questions, telling anybody, doing anything, you get up, take the gun and shoot the guy. He says, look, this guy, as per the law of Torah, has to die, kill him. It would have been right, but he didn't do it. He did the tikkun of Dibur. That means didn't go and do it on his own to execute his thought. He went to his teacher. He went to his grandfather. He says, this is the law. What do you advise? No rush to a judgment. That's what we do today. We rush to the judgment. When somebody does something to us, it's not to our liking, and every Lashon Hara possible, we stick it to them. Because I judge that this is it, that's how it is. So Pinchas didn't do it. This is showing me the knowledge of Chaim. So the Moses says, you're right. And since you did the tikkun, you did the correction of the thought, you did the correction of the dibur, now do the correction of Maaseh. You go and do it. Now, this needs guts. Because here, the head of the Shevet is fornicating with a woman. You take your remach, take your sword, and take your, spear. You walk into their territory, and you go while they are in an act, you just shove it in both of them, and then you pick them up in the air? I mean, don't you have any idea they're going to tear you into pieces? Don't you understand what's going to happen 2 seconds after? What do we call this? What did he use the guts for? I can use my guts for many things. How I do it? Look, the guts that we have, we do danger. Go back to your 10 years, 15 years ago, the things that you did when you were younger. Do you have the guts to do it now? Anybody? Why? What happened to the guts? Because you know better. Now there is a time that you have the guts and you don't know better. And are you a dangerous instrument or no? Because you're going to do a lot of things that you're going to feel sorry after because you didn't know better. Now this guy had the guts. But he puts the guts toward what? For sake of himself? For sake of Hashem. And what was the sake of Hashem? What Hashem cannot do is his own job. What was the sake of Hashem? Why Hashem so much loved that really gave him such a big reward? Because he took care of the other Jews not to die. Kapara. He caused kapara. He caused that God forgive the rest of the Jews. There were 176,000 who were supposed to die. Only 24,000 died. Because a Jew made self-sacrifice. The whole lesson that we want to learn is what is this self-sacrifice. And the Jew will not reach destination, will not reach the Chaim, until you don't do self-sacrifice. Until between your relation of a man and a woman and a husband and a wife and a father and a son and a daughter and a mother and all the relations that we establish in our life, if there is no self-sacrifice, there is no sweet fruit. Guaranteed. Got to be self-sacrifice. Now, where this self-sacrifice comes from? How can I acquire the guts to give up this connection to the pleasure of this world? That doesn't mean not to enjoy life. But enjoy a pleasure that will have continuity for me. That brings not only success for myself. You know what's the worst thing in the world? That you have a most wonderful life as a father and mother. You will travel the whole world. You will have the funnest in the world. But yet you will have children that they are addicted to heroin, chas v'shalom. How much all those pleasures of life worth for you? The biggest pleasure of a father and a mother first is to see their children successful. To see the fruit of their labor, they make it. But that's not the end, we said. It's to make sure that the son of the son is successful. And that requires Mesirat Nefesh. That requires to do it for sake of God. Because I know that I'm not going to see the Mashiach. I hope I see the Mashiach. Now that I don't have the hope. But I make sure my children and the children of children will see it. And I will be there to see it through them. That is what was promised and that was done. Let's continue this in understanding it. Now, there is two souls within our body. And this is a little, since the week of Kabbalah, let's study a little bit of Kabbalah. There is two kinds of soul we have, two kinds of neshama we have. There is a neshama of us that comes into our consciousness, it's part of our consciousness, that has four levels. Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, V'chaya. Nefesh is that blood that is within us, is our life. Ruach is our soul. Neshama is my higher soul. And Chaya is the Chokhmah that feeds the line. Chaya. It's a Chaya. It's an existence that feeds the totality. And this embodiment comes to our consciousness. That means our consciousness has these four levels. But the level of consciousness is five. Not four. It's five. Like five fingers. There is another level called Yechida. Yechida comes from the word Yachad, Ichud, unity. In this level of consciousness, there is only one, oneness. To do the work of connecting to the level of Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, and Chaya, the Torah and Mitzvot will enable me to get energy from these four levels. But the level of Yechida...
Could you give us an example of how that happens?
Which one happens, Shoshana?
How we get energy from the four...
Bravo. Very good. That's what I want to exactly get there. He says, there is a level, this level has four medium of expression, which is Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, and Chaya, which parallel the spiritual world, which is a parallel to the worlds that we have, the world of Asiya, world of Yetzirah, world of Briah, and the world of Atzilut. Now, world of Atzilut means nearness. It's the closest we can get to the Ein Sof, to the entity. Now, then below that world of closeness, there is the world of creation, Briah. Below that is the world of Yetzirah, the world of formation. Below that is the world of action, Asiya. Nefesh is in the world of Asiya. Nefesh is the world of action. Ruach is in the world of formation. And Neshama is in the world of creation. My Chaya is in the world of Atzilut. Now, when I get to the world of Atzilut, I cannot really bind in that world unless tap into a world called Chaya Yechida. That means to tap into a world of Echad. There is no two, it's only one. Everything is one. That's what I want. Now, there is part of me that can tap into this energy of Echad. In that Echad, there is no Ra, there is no bad, there is no ugliness, there is no more darkness. Is totality is unification and binding with the creation. Now, when I bind with creation, is any sickness can remain within me? No. So I need to tap into this Yechida, and this is how it says. There is a level of soul which transcends all our powers. The level of Yechida. This level is one which God in His manifestation as a Yechud binds, causes me to bind to it. Until such a time I do not tap into the energy of Yechida through working my way through Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, Vechaya, I cannot ever experience the feeling of godliness. Now, how does God feel? Honestly. Some of you have gone through experiences in life. And for a moment, you felt the touch. You felt the unification. And that's only a moment. I imagine that you are able to repeat this experience on a weekly basis. Hear me out. On a weekly basis. Because if in this world you don't feel God, our life is not worth a penny. I don't want to feel God in the Shamayim. All the galut and all the problem the Jews have gone through is for one reason, is to feel God in the down here, in the world of physicality. Tasu li mishkan veshochanti betocham. That means make me a place. I want to unite with you, not in Shamayim, here on the earth. And for me to tap into that binding is to tap into that section. To draw down this level into this world, our divine service must tap that part of the soul which transcends our conscious power. Many Jews, they said, look, I believe there is God. And you know, I grant you that Torah probably God gave it and nobody changed anything in it in the past 3,000 years. I'll give you the benefit of that. But let me understand why God tells me to eat kosher. As soon as I understand what is kosher, I'm going to become kosher. I don't know why I have to put a kippah. Let me go study. As soon as I understand why I have to put a kippah, I put kippah. I don't know why I have to put tefillin every day. As soon as I understand what this tefillin is, this satellite you put here and a dish that you put up here and a dish here, I don't know what is this. As soon as I understand, oh, by the way, who told me to put it on like this? What is written in the Torah? It's not written in the Torah. It just says, Letafot ben enecha. Well, what is Letafot ben enecha? So somebody says, oh yeah, make a dish, put it up here. Is that what it is? As soon as I understand where I put it. Now, how many lifetimes do you need to understand Torah? How smart you are? How genius we are? How about 20,000 lifetimes? It's not going to make it. There's no end to it. It's the chokhmah of himself. And the problem is not for me to become perfect. The creation is not for me to become perfect. What's the creation for? Only to God to evaluate my knowledge and to see how much effort I put in my life to become better. Not perfect. Never. Can't. Torah.
No, but where?
Next time.
Do you realize what you just said?
Yes.
You said that the only reason for the study of Torah is so God can come down and judge you. You are speaking like a tzaddik who became a rasha. But if you look at the Nevi'im at this time in history, you might discover that this is
exactly the period of history that
Shoshana.
What's wrong with the Jewish nation is you haven't been evaluating what period of history we're in. Shoshana, please quit. Now, it continues, it says, if Israel turns to God in Teshuvah, she will be redeemed, and if Israel will not turn into Teshuvah, we will not be redeemed. That's the Gemara. That's the quotation. That means if Israel decides to seek the way of Teshuvah, that means to return to God, return and evaluate everything he does by or she does by the rules of Hashem. Very simple. Today I want to say something. I turn around and says, is God going to be happy in what I'm going to say, or is not going to be happy? If God is not going to be happy, I'm not going to do it. If this place that I want to go, and I love to go, but Hashem doesn't like me to go, he doesn't enjoy it, he's going to become angry, I'm not going to go. Why? For his sake. Then you have become Pinchas. Now how much guts you have to stand in front of yourself? How much guts you have to stand in the kuf that is in you? And who is the kuf? We explain. This Korach is three type of consciousness. The kuf is that consciousness that whatever I think and whatever I say is one thing, but whatever I do, it's okay. It doesn't have to be exactly what I think and what I say, because all of you, whenever you have problem, what do? As soon as we have problem, what do? My hand goes up and says, oh my God. So I remember suddenly God. Now, and when I say, oh my God, how do I talk to God? Do I lie to him? I'm desperate. I'm really desperate. I really got beaten up. I really got it hard. Now I'm talking to God. Do I talk to God honestly? Do I talk to God with all my heart? Do I lie to God? Right? Now, I even pick up a Torah, and I pick up a Siddur, and I pray to him, and I pray to him with all my heart. I even have some cry coming down and says, hallelujah, God, I love you. Please, you know what? I mean, okay. Hey, please help me here. Okay? Honest, sincerely? Now, do you take that honest and sincerity to your job? When you go to your job, lying is okay. I mean, couple of white lies here and white lies there. A little bit of stealing is all right. I mean, it's okay. Business is business, for God's sake. Do you want me to be as honest with the people as I am with God? Are you as honest with people as you are with God? Because if you are not, you have a kuf in you. Because what you think and what you say is different than what you do. And I don't think none of us like that our partner to be saying something to me but doing something else behind my back. Because that's exactly what we are doing for God. I'm just bringing to the attention where we want to go. There's the one point is very important. It requires to be honest. Nobody with nobody, no confession. We are not in a religion of confession. Just go and recognize it yourself. And it continues. He says that therefore the redemption. And what do you want to be redeemed? Anybody here wants to be redeemed? Or it's okay to be in Hollywood? Would you like to be redeemed? But it's fun. Huh? It's okay. And if you say it's okay, you don't know the darkness. You haven't tasted the truth yet. So in order to get the redemption, you need to start to teshuvah. That means you need to sit down and evaluate yourself, and from what you are, you got to be different by next week. That means continuously change, and if you don't change, you're going to go fossil. You're going to go kaka. You're going to go bad. You got to keep on changing. And that's only when you put your guts into your life and you seek the truth. Because you can change to worse. He says, no, don't change for worse. Change teshuvah to become divikut, to become one with God. So teshuvah for redemption is necessary. And when a Jew motivated by teshuvah, he taps to the level of yechidah. And this enables him to transcend on all his powers. That's the power of teshuvah again. Now, it says the level of Yechidah which surpasses our consciousness, that means it's not logical, it's above my consciousness. And what is above my consciousness? It's dark. That's where Bilam didn't want the Jews to go. to go into the world of darkness and see and bring and be a cause of light to calm darkness. When a Jew comes, who invented penicillin? A Jew. What did he cause? To bring light into the world of darkness. By just making a penicillin. It was in nature. It's not about something created from nothing. He just caused the revelation of it. And what he caused saved the whole world, changed the direction of life. That is teshuvah. That is one person to recognize this is my responsibility, and no matter what, for sake of my God, for sake of my Torah, I'm going to do it. I'm going to let go about everything else. If that is my responsibility, if that is what I am supposed to do, I will not neglect. I will not lose the opportunity. You know what is our tikkun? Do you think our tikkun is really to move a mountain from one side of the world to the other side of the world? You know what's the tikkun? You are going to a doctor. You are 5 minutes late. And while you are running to reach the elevator, an old lady says, "Please, I lost my glasses. Help me to the other side." And I turn around and says, "Don't you see I'm 5 minutes late? I can't." Now, you want to make your tikkun? That was opportunity. And life is a opportunity. A opportunity. But this opportunity is given to you on a daily basis. It's a opportunity. So open up your eyes. Don't get involved so much into the physical world. That's the cream of the crop. He's just going to give it to you. Do what it is you are here to do. And for that you have to tap into the Yechidah. And here it comes. He says, how do I tap into this that goes above my consciousness? Because my consciousness is only shows me what I see, what I hear, what I smell, what I taste, what I touch. But this Yechidah is above this touch business and consciousness business. And he follows the following. The level of Yechidah which surpasses our consciousness power is expressed through Metzirot Nefesh, self-sacrifice. A commitment that transcends the bounds of reason. No reasoning. Oh, give me explanation why. There's no why. It's above reason. You gotta go above. The darkness is above reason. When you see, you can come up with the reason. And it follows. For reason cannot explain true self-sacrifice. Some exert themselves because promise of reward. They heard that God gives reward. So they go to sacrifice themselves. They work like a dog. They really work hard. But at the end they don't get nothing. He says, why? This is because the ulterior motive and their consciousness is that I am going to get a reward. A self-sacrifice is not including, he say, hey God, you see, I'm doing your mitzvah. Are you really taking the note? I'm doing business. That's not self-sacrifice. Self-sacrifice is to have the guts to say to yourself, no. Go against what you like and follow what your God Creator told. If you want to do it for His sake. Unless you go unto your God and says, God, I really don't know. I'm not very sure if you're really you. Is this your really you? Do I remember that I was in the Sinai and God came and said, Anochi Hashem Elokecha? Do I remember? Do I remember when God opened the sea? Do I remember when God brought the darkness into the Egypt, and look, he gave me an X-ray eye, and I went and I saw where all the jewelry is. I mean, come on, that's fun. Makes it for the whole world dark, and I go around to all the banks, I know where all the money and all the jewelry is, and I really can take my pick. That's exactly what happened in Egypt. Do I remember that? Do I remember of all the Ananekevod and the man and the Baim? No. Now here comes the secret. All those Jews that died in the desert, they were all of the totality neshama was in one total, in one whole called Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu in his dealing and in his all effort, and we're going to study when we're going to study the Shabbat, Bezrat Hashem, very soon, is that every time you work six days, Sheshet Yamim Tavod, you put 6 days to do the work of you, your work that is given by God to you. That means you follow your responsibility. You look, seek your responsibility. That means you recognize where is the sickness within you. That means where is the lack within you. Where, how can you be a better son, better father, better mother, better than who you are? And you find the lack, and you seek the guidance and the help of your Creator. God sets you up, and when you say, okay, Sheshet Yamim Tavod, work on it. You might not do it overnight, and nobody expects you to, but put the effort. Put the effort. And God sees the effort. And the Saturday Shabbat comes, Avashivi and Afash. On seventh day, come here, you don't need to do anything anymore. The 39 things that you were doing during the 6 days, come on Shabbat, forget it. Drop everything. And I evaluate your effort, and per effort, I'm going to give you energy that for the following week you do better. How can I do better? I did my best last week. How can I do better? God, what are you going to give me? What are you going to inject in me? What are you going to do to me, to my nature, to my chromosome, to my DNA, so I can do better? Because I thought last week I did the best. Is it possible to do better? God says yes. He says, Moshe, you are my Amin. You are my trustee. You are Eved Neiman. You are the totality of all the Neshamot. Please, you see this Jew comes on Shabbat? Evaluate his work that he did for 6 days. And give him a Neshama from where? From the door of the Ah, the door that saw the beginning to the end in the Midbar. He saw the whole thing. Give him a spark of that neshama. Now, if there is in my psyche, an energy that remembers the opening of the sea, remembers when the God said, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, remembers all the miracles that God did, and this energy enters into me, am I becoming more powerful or less powerful? Aren't we all say, look, I wish I would see a small miracle. I mean, come on, God, can you throw one of those miracles? I mean, it's a time for 2,000-3,000 years you haven't done any miracles. You know who says this? You know who says this? A blind. He doesn't know that every morning he gets up, opens his eyes, is a miracle. He doesn't know that suddenly he was nobody, now he has a kid. He doesn't know that for some time he didn't understand what love of heart is, and now has a heart and feels love. Cares. That's miracle. That's a miracle that I have a wife and kid. It's a miracle that every morning I get up and see blessing and changes. It's a miracle that I get an opportunity that I come to a point and say, oh my God, what am I going to do? This time I really got it. And I know all the doors are closed, and I know and I see from nowhere a door opens. There is a light at the end of a tunnel. Do we going to see a day that the Jews are going to love each other and going to be united? Yes. One of the most important fundamental of Judaism is always to think positive. It is forbidden for a Jew to ever look at the negative side of the aspect. Always positive. And by looking into positive, there is an energy you literally inject into yourself called hope. And when there is hope, you can move mountains. What is not real, you can make it real. Only through having a positive attitude. But the point is that if I allow myself for a second to tap into that negative energy, I lose it. And that's why he says the secret of really tapping into that energy to bring myself Chaim Shel Shalom. You know, we are laughing. And I love this woman. But she knows it. She sits down every Shabbat and she listens to a whole lot of Kabbalah. It's the worst thing in the world that you are high, in a high place, and you fall. And you fall. It's the most painful things when you have a degree and well-educated and you are a professor at the university and suddenly you lose it. And there is nothing in this world without a reason. Nothing. A leaf doesn't fall off the tree with no reason. Everything happens in this world has a reason. And for that is only for me to be awake and recognize. And this is why it says that the Mesirat Nefesh was always necessary element of divine service. If I'm not ready to give up, I'm stuck to this physical world of I want to be rich and I want to have that kind of a car and that kind of a house. And by the way, I want for sure to have 4.5 bathroom. I mean, if it is not 4.5 bathroom, kind of ridiculous. As long as I'm stuck with this physical world, because the Ikara Avodah, the importance of our work is not my nefesh. This body is going to go and be a food for all tolad. It's going to be for worms. Worms going to eat it. It's done. What is important is what do I make out of this body while I have it. That's it. Because the body is going to take, you know, when we die, we have always usually there is a ring or something that we love really very much. When we die, you know what they do? You keep on your hand because you want at least to keep the ring. So they, by force, they open it, they take it in the circle and I put him down. They take even that off. What's the use? Are we ants? You know what ants do? They only save. They keep on saving. While they're walking, they're eating. While they're walking, they sleep. They keep on saving. And you know what they do after 6 months? They live it and die. And they never learn a lesson. And they are only there to teach you. Don't keep on saving. Save things that's worth. You go, work, and then now you want to enjoy it. Nah. You won't have time to enjoy it. Observe the energy, observe the moment, take the moment, make good use of it. And the Rebbe continues saying, Mesirat Nefesh was always a necessary element of our divine service. The totality of our divine service depends on it. That's why when the Jews entered into Israel, God said, you say Shema Yisrael twice a day. You know what is the rule of saying the Shema Yisrael? We mentioned it. You have to accept the oil malchut. That means you have to accept the yoke of Hashem. You cannot say Shema Yisrael Adonai Elohim Adonai Echad, or you can say 50 million times. Nothing going to happen unless You accept four kind of death. That means total mesirat nefesh. You are ready. Va'ahavta et Adonai Elohecha bechol levavcha ubechol nefshecha ubechol ma'udecha. That means you are ready in totality to give up everything you got only to bind with God. Do you have the guts? That's the question. Do you have the guts, or you go sit down and say, you know, wait a minute, I'm a smart person, I have a PhD, and I'm a master, and I'm an educated person, yeah, I'm not young either. So, let me see, is this really business real? I mean, is this real? I mean, really, God is real? I can sit down here and change everybody's mind about being a Jew. 3 days ago, 4 days ago, there was an email going around. A Jew, Orthodox, Aleph Orthodox from Brooklyn, long pipiot, goes to Israel, make aliyah, takes a place, fights for a land in somewhere in Jerusalem. And out of the curiosity, and he says curiosity kills, and the story is right, was in the PBS, and he comes here and goes to internet and looking around to sites and goes and hits the site of a religious site, a Muslim guy, starts talking with this Muslim. He says he starts arguing with the Muslim, every argument to give to this Muslim gives three times a stronger argument to him. And at the end, he says, well, I cannot budge this guy. So this guy's religion is better than my religion. He cuts the pipiot, he puts the Islamic beard, he puts the had beard, he denounces the Judaism, he hates Judaism. He says, no, I don't hate Jews, I hate the religion of Judaism. And he lives in Jerusalem, and right now he says, Allahu Akbar, and his wife and his kids, they're all Muslims. You think this doesn't happen in us? Why such a thing has to be in a Jew? Now show me a Muslim that becomes a Jew. You won't find one. You won't find one. But yet Jews, here they see, they go somewhere, curiosity. What is curiosity? Let God judge him. I don't know. Because it's not easy to be a Jew. It's really difficult, but the pay is good. What else can I tell you? So the Jews' Mesirat Nefesh represents merely a potential commitment. Here we go. I'm done with you. Potential commitment. What is a potential commitment? From Joseph to you guys. Don't start to become Jewish overnight. Honestly. On which level of a Jew you are, that's fine. Even if you don't keep any of the Judaism, you are a Jew and you are respected as a Jew. And if another Jew doesn't respect another Jew, it's not worth a penny. Don't put a name of Jew on it. Respect every Jew. Respect the whole world. But if you see a Jew brother or a Jew neighbor or a Jew friend is different than you, don't belittle him, don't be disrespectful to him. Don't call people names. Simply, don't call me. Don't judge nobody. So he says, commit to a potential. Pick up a small mitzvah this week. Because we're getting close to a period called Beina Mitzarim. It's the time that is going to be harsh judgment. It's a pre-judgment of Rosh Hashanah. Just pick up one small. That's a potential of Mesirat Nefesh. Mesirat Nefesh is nothing but a potential. That means, take a small mitzvah. Very small, minor. One. And commit to yourself. From today, I'm going to do it. Where is your guts? Then you will recognize whether you have the heart to be a Jew or not. Jew is not by name, and Jewish is not a title. You earn to be a Jew. And it's a very difficult task. But by God, it's worth every effort of it. Difficult, long time, but you will recognize that you will get and tap into an energy that you do not know better. You only heard stories. But the fact is, you want to experience God. We are not a nation of meditation. We don't sit down and go 101 times. We are not. We are a nation of action. We do. We show our love in action. Because we said we have a 4 different level of neshama. Nefesh, ruach, neshama, chaya, echida. And yechida is above the conscience. I can tap only into that completion, to that seed level, only if I do mesirat nefesh. That means I sit down right now. It's experience. As minute as the mitzvah is, because there is no minute, any mitzvah, pick it up. Tell to yourself. Check out yourself. How good your word is. How good your commitment is. And if you are able to do that, and it can be any, simple. You have tapped into the teshuva, you have tapped into redemption, you have tapped into yechida. That's the energy Pinchas teaches us. Don't look at the consequence. Oh, you know, if I keep Shabbat, then I have to close my business. And you know, I make the best money on Shabbat. Who's going to pay the rent? Is God going to sign my check? I got to end up to sign the check. That's because I don't have confidence in myself. I don't. I don't have a strong heart. I don't have guts. I'm afraid of failure. I lost hope. I have to slap myself in order to get a nice face. Get out of. Make the change. Make the difference. Be proud of being Jew. And start injecting love of a Jew. And the love of Jew is not to go and find another Jew and say, you know, well, I love you. No. Hello. Do. Sacrifice. The sacrifice is if you can do something for... You know what's the best thing you can do? Is to be a kind of a Jew that they look at you and say, this guy is a Jew and he's a hell of a good human being. He's a tzaddik. He's a good father. He's a good son. Bravo to this guy. It's good to have him as a neighbor. That's how you can make Judaism important. Recognize the people. The people should not know the Jews as a person who is looking to get ribbit or interest or make money on the souls of others and misery of others. A Jew should be known as the one that who invented or brought about the penicillin, brought the 60% now of the Jews, of the Nobel Prize winners of the Jew, are Jews. Are Jews right now in the whole medical world, and this is only because Jew is running the Eretz Israel. All of you know the history of Eretz Israel. When the Jews were not in Israel, the land was waste, totally. Total waste. There were so many parasites and flies that you couldn't even live in it. They couldn't even put prisoners over there. And yet, look what they did. And this is a matter of 50 years. It's not a matter of 200 years. It's a matter of 50 years with all the hardship, having enemies around. If God is not for them, and then how do you think they got it? How through so many hardship, for past 5,000 years, we are still, thanks God, Baruch Hashem, we are here. Remember that never in any generation of Judaism, the Torah, more than any other time has been studied and implemented in daily life today than any other time in the history. And look at how much the whole world is improving on education, on science, on every aspect of the science. The world is going astronomically fast because of the Jews are really bringing the light of Kedusha, of the Torah, into this world. They are implementing it every day. Now is the time that the children are teaching the parents how to be a good Jew. The children are teaching the parents. Bring the Torah into your life. Have the guts to make the difference. Tell very simple. Pick up one mitzvah and you shall see the difference. Question. Yes, please.
I saw that Vav and Shalom.
It's broken. The Vav that we have, Brit Shalom, the Shalom, the Vav in the Torah. We know that every word of Torah has to be complete with no pagam, no touched. Has to be perfect. The Vav of the Shalom, it's broken. Why? There are many explanations. And most of it is not for this class. But simple explanation of it. How Pinchas really got this Brit Shalom? Bottom line, killed. Bottom line, he killed another Jew. Had to, but the Shalom is there. But the Vav, which is Ot Emet, is broken. That broken is in the Torah, against the rule of the Torah. That broken gotta be. If somebody fixed that Vav, the brokenness, that means the cut that is in the middle, the Torah is not kosher. It's to indicate that the creation is not for killing and separation and destruction. The creation is based on tremendous amount of love and affection and compassion toward God. God really created to give his goodness. But the point that didn't want the bread of shame. What was the problem of the Jews after so many years of 40 years they made that mistake after 40 years? Very simple reason. They got the knowledge from the Moshe as the son gets from the father. They never used it. They never had the chance to go really 6 days dirty their hand and put their feet in the pots and then come after the 6 day working, come to Hashem and say, Hashem, I'm here. I am going to say Netilat Yadayim. I am going to say Hamutzi. I am going to say the Brachat Mazon. Why? Because it is Shabbat. I am going to sing a song. I am going to say on the Shulchan a Divrei Torah. I am going to make a different Shulchan that it was the day before. I'm going to make Shabbat, every Shabbat, better. And Bezrat Hashem, very soon, we're going to understand the detail in and out of what Shabbat is. That how I can really bring in a Neshama Yetira, that means a booster. You know, most of you guys probably have a good sportish car. When you go on the gas, you push the gas to the end, and right at the end, there is an extra booster. That if you push it a little bit, you have a good takeoff. That's a booster. The Neshama Yetira is a booster.
Turbo.
That Neshama Yetera is going to give you that confidence, that capability that you do what you need to do in the most beautiful fashion. The only thing is that you have to know how to use it, how to acquire it. How many of you really tap into your soul? How do you connect to your soul? Or you are only dealing with your nefesh? Do you talk to yourself? And who is this guy that you're talking to? Because if you say to a doctor that I talk to myself, he says, well, no, Chas v'Shalom, maybe I've gone cuckoo. But We do talk to ourselves. As a matter of fact, last week we learned that our body, the chamor of Bilam is, who is the chamor of Bilam? Is our body. Our body talks to us. The body says, look here, don't push me. Don't give me this thing. I don't can. I'm Jewish body. He says, forget it. It's really a good oyster. You're going to have it. But look, I can. So, no, I'm telling you. So you shove it in. So the chamor gets beaten up once and twice and three times. He says, look, what have I done to you? That you beat me up so much. We have to learn to listen to our body. Till age of 40, God really takes care of more or less our body. After 40, he says, okay, now you handle it. Let me see what you do after age of 40. What do usually we do after age of 40 to our body? I don't have to say. Any other questions? I enjoy you guys very much. Thank you. Yes, please.
I hope I'm wording it correctly. How do you get past, because I know I feel and a lot of my peers feel the same, when you're saying, I'm going to do something because I know it, God wants me to do it. But then when you do it and you get a good feeling about it, there's a little voice in there that tells you, but you're doing it because you, God is liking you to do it, so you're pleasing God to do it, and you're trying to get on His good side to reward you. That then becomes hypocritical, so your other part of your mind is saying, well, you're really not doing what you're supposed to do. You're not doing it from... So how do you... That fine line... Of
beautiful. Very nice. Very nice. Very beautiful. Very real. Very real. Now, are you sitting here with your good Yetzirah or the bad Yetzirah came to the class too? As a smart and capable you get, your Yetzirah gets a smart and capable too. That's number one. One of the ways of the Yetzirah is to put you in doubt. And if it's not successful, takes you to the past. And see if you don't like past, takes you to the future, get you worried about the future. Whatever it does is robs you of the present. That's the Yetzirah. That's number one. Number two is when he says that you got smart on him, you read his cards, he comes and he tells you, hey, listen to me. You are not really doing this for God. You are really have an ulterior motive for God's sake, don't you? So it gives you a guilty conscience. That's the worst thing you can have. It's guilty conscience. You are doing it now for the reward, it's okay, do it for the reward. God Hashem tells you, no problem. I love to give you a reward. Don't feel guilty. Take it. And I give you a reward. But eventually when you get to keep on getting reward and reward and reward, you learn how to love your God. And you don't care. It's okay. You know what? I just love you. That's when you feel God. But it's absolutely okay that count your blessing and say more. No problem. Don't let the Yetzer Hara fool you. You know, in Iran, we had a donkey that they would put him on a kind of a word to go around and around and this way to make flour, the biggest stone. And what would do they to this donkey? Close his eyes. Why close his eyes? Why when you drink wine you close your eyes? When you kiss somebody that you love and cherish, you close your eyes. Why when you feel good you close your eyes? Why when you say Shema Israel you close your eyes? Why close your eyes? You tap into the darkness. You're not afraid. Because you have love in you. There is a true contact. No fear. Get rid of your fears. No guilty conscience. The donkey was... Who said that? I want to see the person who asked the donkey. The donkey is our body that keeps on giving us information and we ignore. And because we ignore, we die. We don't listen to our body. Our body has a language and it keeps on, anybody has, you have to listen to your body. And the day you listen to your body, you can bring healing to yourself. In, believe me, the time is for you the worst of the worst pains, as long as it doesn't become clinical, because when it becomes clinical, it's clinical already. But prior getting clinical, we are at the age, in very short time you can heal yourself of the worst pain. You can heal yourself. It's a matter of if you are tuned. If you are tuned, it is enough to sit down and concentrate to bring the light and to bring the goodness within you. You make one change in yourself and you change the cassette. You can change a cassette in 24 hours, but you need guts. In order to get that guts, start working on one small mitzvah. Not two, one. Shalom al Israel, Shabbat shalom. Kol tov lachem, shalom v'shalom.